Hello, FCS Nation. It's time for your show. I'm your host, Kevin Marshall, and this week, delayed in the Dallas airport. Thank you to not a sponsor yet, the Minute Suites and the DFW airport, for allowing me a space to do the show this week. I appreciate it. Always seem to get delayed at DFW. Stone, there was carnage in the FCS last week, especially in the top 25. We don't have the time, but we do have the inclination, but not the time to go through all of the teams that lost. Let's just look at the highlights from the top five here from 1 week ago. Stone, we talked about the South Dakota State Jackrabbits last week, and we both kind of agreed that this would maybe be the week where they'd put it all together. And, sir, they did. Number one, South Dakota State, 41. Northern Iowa, 3. On the road, in that dome. Jacks fans, we told you, just like Aaron Rodgers said, relax.
Just relax. Listen, super balanced win. 4 turnovers. And it takes things like a block punt for you to realize who you are. Count that as a look in the mirror. I know it seems subtle, but I think that's a big deal. Offensively, Mark, we wanted 3 touchdowns through the air. Kind of been begging for it. Another thing that I think this team needs to see, right? Mark, take flight with that thing, find pay dirt 3 times. 221 yards and another lopsided victory for the Jacks. It seems like the scores are very similar each and every week, Kev, and they're going to continue to do this each and every week.
Look, the rushing attack was what it was. Kirby Voorhees, 45 yards, 5.6 yards a carry. Amar Johnson, 40 yards, 4 yards a carry. Angel Johnson, 31 yards, 5.2 yards a carry. I'm thinking that this is more along the lines of what we're going to see the rest of the year, don't you? Kind of the running back by committee, but their committee is way better than just about anybody else's.
Their committee has contrasting styles. You have a guy in Amar who, call him a scat, who can catch the ball out of the backfield. And then you have a guy who can come in late in games with fresh legs and on second and third and short packages in Voorhees. This team found a way to replace Isaiah Davis. Although it's multifaceted, it is still a way.
Number 2, Montana State, 55. Northern Colorado, 17. They whipped just about everybody that they played, right? And have an FBS win. So, I mean, they just did what they do here, right? Over 500 yards of total offense. This was a total incomplete Bobcat domination. Going to be very interesting to see what happens in Bozeman this Saturday, though.
Yeah, you're never going to lose a ball game giving up one first down in an entire quarter. And that happened in the very first one of the game. So that sets the tone right there. This team, each and every week, when we're reading results, either has a 5 or a 4 in front of it. Again, this is similar to South Dakota State. What this team is going to do, what they've always done, and what they've done up to this point in the season, we don't expect anything to change. And I think when we read Montana State and South Dakota State scores and recap those games in specific, I'm steady comparing the two. And I still want to give the nose out in front to Montana State. They just seem a little more complete, but South Dakota State still has a few months to turn that volume up to 11 and do what we know they can do.
It's hard to win if you're Ed Lamb in Northern Colorado when you get out rushed 223 yards to 1 yard. 1 yard rushing, Stone. Yikes.
One more time. Let me hear it. Oh, my goodness.
1 yard rushing. And Montana State rolled up 501 total yards, 278 through the air, and the 223 that I mentioned on the ground. I just wonder how Northern Colorado had the ball for 25 minutes and 20 seconds with only 1 rushing yard. That's a lot of bubble screens, isn't it? That's a lot of swing passes, right? That's the only thing I can think of. But 1 rushing yard, dude.
It's
hard
sick
to win like that. That's sick. It's disgusting.
What do you mean it's hard to win? It's impossible to win. Like, it's not actually something that can happen.
Number 3, North Dakota State, 41. Number 7, North Dakota, 17. Stone, does this say more about the Bison or the Fighting Hawks here? What do you think?
Oh my God, I think the answer is both. I mean, I want to say North Dakota State, but again, this is what we talked about with Montana State and South Dakota State. They're going to score 40 or 50 every week if they're going to play a foe like this. But the answer is also North Dakota. This was a game where they've been in everybody's top 10. Obviously, they steal a win from Bobby Houck, but they are who we thought they were. And we took some flack last week on things that we say and how we kind of break this Fighting Hawk team down, but this is exactly who they were. And I said this was going to be a 20-digit plus victory, and you said you don't think it's going to be that high. That's exactly what it was, Kev. I mean, North Dakota just doesn't have firepower. They don't have enough ammunition. There's things that they don't have that teams do when you're looking at the ones that are competing in quarterfinals and semifinals each and every season. This is also says a lot and gives us everything we need to know about North Dakota. They just can't contend.
429 total yards for the Bison to 267 for North Dakota. 221 came through the air on the right arm of Cam Miller and 208 on the ground. Balanced attack led to a big victory for the North Dakota State Bison last week. Number 4, South Dakota, 59. Murray State, nothing. Stone, this was the most public execution of a fellow named Murray since the Joker movie, I think.
I don't know where to start with Murray State, Kev. We had a long conversation this past weekend when we saw 50-plus put up by the Yotes because we know what North Dakota did to them the week prior, and that was drop 72 on their head. This team's got a lot to figure out. Welcome to the Valley, I suppose. But this is a game that I think showed everybody who South Dakota is. And that is, pound for pound, the most balanced team in the FCS.
Stone, they ran the ball for 361 yards, dude, right? I mean, I don't know how explosive the quarterback has to be.
Yep.
When you can do that. 16 completions for 221 for Aiden Bauman with a touchdown and one interception. Just an absolute butt-whooping by the Yotes in this one. Others receiving votes. Abilene Christian, 41, number 5, Central Arkansas, 34. Well, I'll eat my crow sandwich. I know you're going to have to as well. They were not good getting off the field on third down in particular, and they couldn't stop the run when they absolutely had to have it. That was a difference in this ball game to me.
I don't even want to say they ran out of time, Kev. They were never in this game. This is the definition of getting punched in the mouth. Abilene Christian walks into the locker room at halftime, 31-17, up. This is a humbling loss for Central Arkansas, but you know, you posed the question to me with North Dakota State and North Dakota, kind of who does this tell us more about? And I kind of pose the same question here. I want to hear your opinion. For me, I think this may just tell us more about Abilene Christian. And this is by no means me defending Central Arkansas and having bias towards them because I think they're a really good football team. Abilene Christian's slept on. Their results are really good. They put up a fight against Idaho, clawed back into that game in Idaho. And of course, if you're a top 10, top 5 team like Central Arkansas was, you're going to drop a game. Alabama lost to Vanderbilt. I mean, I can go down the long list of schools in the FCS in the top 10 who drop games all the time, depending on what conference they play in. I hope this is that situation for Central Arkansas and they continue to skate through their schedule because they should. It's really easy. So this will just be their one loss. And if you can kind of take a step back, have some perspective and realize that, then you take a little bit of the flack off of Central Arkansas. But this defense can't stop a nosebleed. It's pretty evident.
Look, it's interesting to me that we're going to get to the top 25 in just a second, but how much difference a week can make, Stone Labanowitz. Last week, we were discussing Central Arkansas in the same breath when I was going down the poll. I didn't have to get breathless over it, y'all. As North Dakota State, Montana State, South Dakota State, and this week, we're going to talk about Central Arkansas in the same breath as SEMO, Montana, and Illinois State. Fair? I don't know. The rest of the season is going to decide just how fair that is. And in my hand, I do hold the FCS Nation Radio Top 25 for Week 6. Number 1, the South Dakota State Jackrabbits. Number 2, the Montana State Bobcats. Number 3, the Bison from North Dakota State. Number 4, South Dakota. And rounding out the top 5, rising to number 5, UC Davis. Rising to number 6, the Idaho Vandals. Up with a bullet. Number 7, the Mercer Bears. Falling to number 8, North Dakota. Rising to number 9, Villanova. And rounding out the top 10, Tarleton State. Number 11, SEMO. Rising to number 12, Abilene Christian. Falling to number 13, Central Arkansas. Falling to number 14, the Montana Grizzlies. Number 15, Illinois State. Staying steady at number 16, Incarnate Word. Number 17, Northern Arizona. Number 18, Sacramento State. Falling to number 19, William & Mary. And rounding out the top 20, Rhode Island. Cracking the poll again this week after a big victory over East Tennessee State. Number 21, the Chattanooga Mock. Number 22, the Richmond Spiders. Falling to number 23 is East Tennessee State. Getting back into poll at number 24 is Western Carolina. And rounding out the top 25 is Lamar. And here are the National Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual. The FCS Nation Radio National Offensive Player of the Week is Richie Munoz, the quarterback from Weber State. And all he did last week, y'all, was go into Washington Grizzly Stadium in Missoula, Montana, and put up 364 passing yards, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions. The 6 touchdown passes in a single game were the most passing touchdowns in a game for a Weber State Wildcat since 1993. The FCS Nation Radio National Defensive Player of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual, is Jaxton Eck, linebacker from Idaho. Last week versus Northern Arizona, 11 total tackles, first career interception, and more important than that, led the Vandal defense and the Vandal football team to a signal victory over Northern Arizona on their homecoming over there in Moscow, Idaho. Congratulations to Richie Munoz from Weber State and Jaxton Eck from Idaho for being the FCS Nation Radio National Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual. It's time for us to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
Thanks for sticking with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Guys, you know what time it is. Every single week, I go around the country looking for some of the top performing quarterbacks, some of the top quarterbacks in the country. This time, a young gun. I, myself, I lean towards the seniors, some of the guys who have been in the lineup for a long time. But Richie Munoz does not fit that mold. He's a sophomore taking the FCS by storm. Huge win over Montana. We'll get into that, though. First of all, Richie, thanks so much for hopping on the show this week.
Thank you for having me.
I talked about Montana. I said we were going to get into it. Let's just rip this Band-Aid off and do it. I'm sure Coach Mickey Mantle has preached to you guys, and I'm sure he did in that away locker room following this big win. Hey, just celebrate this one for tonight when we get back. But after that, it's back in the lab. We got bigger goals. We're 3-3. You guys can't have that big of smiles. I'm sure you were told that, right? But I do want to backtrack. I do want to talk about that game because I think for you guys, you'll use it as momentum. Use it as a confidence boost. I'll just start with that. Richie, is that a game that you're going to look back on when this season's over and kind of that was the one that catapulted you guys?
Yeah, for sure. Because especially coming off after a loss of McNeese to really two teams, Manili Samar, we shouldn't have lost to. We kind of shot ourselves in the foot those games. So we came into Montana knowing this was a must win for us and played our butts off that game.
Played your butts off. That's an understatement, Richie. You are National Offensive Player of the Week, of course, presented by Northwestern Mutual, alongside Kirk Herbstreit's list of top performers for week six. Here's a stat that I loved. Out of eight on that list, five of them, FBS Power Conference players, a Power Conference defensive lineman, a Heisman front runner, Boise State running back Ashton Jeanty, of course, and everybody knows him, Richie Munoz. Richie, when you saw this list come out, did you see it yourself or did somebody send it to you? And kind of what were your first thoughts? When I saw it, I laughed because I'm somebody who's so passionate about the FCS. I don't think we as FCS players are covered as much as we should be. When you first saw Kirk's list, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was awesome. It was truly a blessing just being on that list, seeing people like Ashton Jeanty, who's probably going to win the Heisman, being in the same conversation with them. It was a blessing to see that.
Now, did you get it sent to you or did you see it on your timeline?
I got it sent to me. I didn't even know. I don't know why I get it sent. I'm like, oh, shoot. That's awesome.
Hey, man, Kirk Herbstreit put you on his top performers list. I love it. I love it. All right, let's talk about that Montana game. Probably the hardest place to play. I think it's an easy argument to win if you were to make it, that Washington Grizzly Stadium is the hardest place to play in the entire FCS. For you guys, the attendance, a little under 26,000. Let's go through Richie's stats here, folks. 364 yards passing. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six touchdowns through the air. No INTs, kept it clean. Listen, that stat right there that I just ran off, most passing touchdowns in a game by a Wildcat since 1993. Richie, when were you born?
2004.
Oh my God, 2004. Okay, most passing touchdowns in a game by a Wildcat since 1993, folks. You had it going on. You guys are 2-0 in the Big Sky. Is that something that you talked about immediately after this game?
Yeah, 2-0, it's being a big deal, being the Big Sky. Very strong conference, and really the thing we're on now is that we're on Northern Colorado. We gotta stay strong, win this game, because if we go out and lay an egg against Northern Colorado, we're back to square one.
Richie, I said, of course, you were told by Mickey, you're on in Northern Colorado. I get it, but I do want to talk about this Montana game, so hang tight for just 1 second.
Oh,
42
for sure.
Points? I'm kidding. 42 points, though, combined in the fourth quarter. Scored on a field goal, obviously, as time expired. A bomb, by the way, just at the end of regulation. Scored first in overtime and obviously forced that fumble. When you line up to kick that field goal, there's 26,000 people who are used to winning games like this. Are you scared, nervous, excited? I mean, what kind of feelings do you have running through your head?
Of course, you get a little nervous always seeing the lineup, but I was confident in my kicker, Kyle Thompson, senior. He's a great kicker. I knew he was going to be able to clutch it up for us.
Now, Montana takes the lead. A little under 5 minutes left in the game. Kind of go through some of the things when that return team is out there, fair catch, touchback. I don't remember. But Zach Larson, Mickey Mantle, what are some of the things in that huddle before you guys take the field on 1st and 10 that they're preaching to you guys?
It's just mostly because we always have a great defense at Weber, and the defense is going to stop when offense's turn to pick up with the defense, because the defense has picked it up for us many times. So it's just going in there. We prepared all week for it, and it's just going into our job.
Now, was that 71-yard combo that found pay dirt, was that something that you prepared all week? I thought that was kind of the play of the game, and that's obvious to say, but I think when you guys went ahead 48-45, that drive was kind of I mean, you guys were 2-3 at the time, kind of this back against the wall mentality. When you guys take that lead, how long did you celebrate, or was it, no, let me get my ass up, stand on the sideline because this defense now has a job to do?
Yeah, it was more like, yeah, celebrate for the 30 second real quick with the teammates, then back on the sideline cheering on the defense.
How good does it feel? And please answer me honestly. You don't know coaches talk here. Act as if they're not listening. Just to shut 26,000 people up. Obviously, you can hear a pin drop in that stadium, but just, I actually had a chance to live that feeling in Ogden, Utah. I played you guys in 2021, and I talked about it in my postgame presser that was the best feeling that I've ever had. The fact that nobody was saying a damn word and I watched people leave the stadium. Did you kind of share those feelings?
Yeah, it was amazing. Amazing experience being able to score. Because anytime we scored, it's like super loud, then we score, and then you can hear a pin drop in that stadium. So like there'll be times, remember the first session I threw, I'm like, why is it so quiet? Like, is there a penalty or something?
But, I love it. That's because there's 26,000 people in the stands who just don't have a damn clue what to do. And obviously you guys kind of punched them in the mouth for 2.5-3 quarters, led the way pretty much the entire time. But of course, in Washington Grizzly stadiums, teams just seem to wear down, and in a fourth quarter, that's where the Grizz kind of thrive, and that's something that they're used to doing. But I want to ask you, from not an X's and O's perspective, but more on the mental side, more of, I don't know, call it a spiritual side, how would you kind of describe your gameplay? Were you just in complete rhythm? Did you know coming into this, I have to score every time I touch the field? Were you in a flow state? Talk to me.
Yeah, it's like once we start scoring that much points, like we start off strong, I knew it was like it's just one of those days where the offense is clicking and that the defense is not playing the way they're supposed to, then it's our jobs as the offense to pick them up.
I love it. You talked about the defense not playing the way they were supposed to. I agree. And I've heard plenty of times, whether it was my quarterback coach, OC, head coach, listen, divorce yourself from the defense. They're not associated with us right now. Of course, they will be when this thing's all said and done, but kind of separate yourself from what's going on out there. What were some of the things that Larson and Mental are telling you, whether it was in the locker room at halftime or just at any point during the game, knowing that it was a knife fight?
It was just more just stay on schedule. Of course, like every play, we want to get positive yards, keep moving the ball, and just focus on us. Like focus on offense, doing our 1-11. If we do that, we were going to be successful.
Simple, simple, simple as that. Sometimes, listen, you've shouted out the defense a few times now. Be the bachelor here. You have flowers to give out. Who are they going to? Is it a receiver? Is it the receiving core? Is it the big boys up front in the trenches? Or is it the defense kind of? Shout some of the guys out and highlight some guys that Weber State fans, Big Sky fans should know their names.
Well, of course, Garrett Beck, he got a strip sack for the win. That was amazing. Like, shout out to receivers, Jacob Sharp and Jalen Record. They both had great games, 2 touchdown catches. Of course, always shout out to the O-line, because without them, nothing's going. And shout out to our kicker, Kyle Thompson, because being in that crowd, being able to make the kicks that he made, it was really clutch for us.
Super clutch. KT, that was bomb. And yeah, I can almost guarantee without knowing him that he's never kicked in front of 26,000 people in a moment during a game like that, conference game on the road in Washington Grizzly Stadium, and he puts it right through the uprights. It was really cool. Richie just gave out his flowers. I love it. Shouted out a bunch of guys here, having a chat here with Richie Munoz, signal caller for Weber State Wildcats. Richie, you guys are 3-3 right now. Obviously not a spot you want to be in, and I'm sure it's preached time and time again. Anytime you guys get high, it's, what are we celebrating? We're 3-3. And anytime you guys get low, it's, hey, we're 2-0 in the Big Sky. But another one on deck. You guys are hosting Northern Colorado. You guys locked and loaded?
Yeah, we're ready. Northern Colorado, they're a solid team. We just got to go in, play our game, start strong. And yeah, we can't, as a team, we just can't overlook.
It's a team you can't overlook. What are some things on film that stand out to you that you look to exploit? Obviously, don't give too much away. I don't think any Northern Colorado players are listening right now. Act as if they are not. What are some of the things that you're excited as the signal caller of this team to kind of put on display and put on tape come Saturday, 6 p.m.?
Well, they like to play a lot of man. And of course, man and QB's offense is almost a dream because you'll be able to take a lot of shots.
A lot of man coverage. Just keep it at that. That tells me everything I need to know. Trust me. Anytime there's a team that I know is going to play coverage pretty much for all four quarters, one, I know they have a really good front and I got to get the ball out early, and two, I'm going to take my shots. And I have opportunities to find pay dirt, 1, 2, 3, 4 play drives. So that right there is what Richie Munoz, quarterback for Weber State, is looking for. Hey, Sac State follows them. I think the rest is breezy for you guys. Close your ears when I say that, because obviously that's not something that quarterback wants to be told or to reiterate kind of to the public, but it's Breezy up until Idaho, second to last game of the season. Is there a game that you're looking forward to? Is there a game that you guys in the locker room are talking about? Or do you feel like you guys are just dialed in on Northern Colorado and one at a time because you're 3-3 and that is not where you guys want to be?
Yeah, we're dialed in on Northern Colorado. We're 3-3, but we're 2-0. We have a chance to be able to win a championship in this Big Sky. So it's really week by week, focusing on each opponent ahead of us.
Bingo. Just nailed that right there. I love that, Richie. Hey, I always ask this question. It's one of my favorite questions to ask quarterbacks because when I ask it, I have visualizations of myself and what I went through, and I answer this question to myself in my head every single time. But when you showed up to summer workouts on campus, listen, this is a head coach's, I don't know, call it a thing or a strength and conditioning staff's kind of thing. When you showed up and you had new workout gear, new kicks, new shorts, new shirts, what was that message that was printed on the back of that shirt or on those shirts? Or what was that thing that was placed in the locker room that wasn't there heading into this 2024 season?
I know this year, like, the main focus was like everyone doing the 1-11th, like everyone doing their job and doing it as a team. Because one thing about Weber that I love, even when I came on official visit, is that it's family all here. We're all really close. So I think it was a lot of that and a lot of getting work after like workouts. There's one thing that this year that was great is that after every workout, every lift, we had receivers going to get extra catches, linemen going out getting extra work. So that was one thing that was really great.
1-11. I swear to God, Richie, I'm not just saying this because we're staring at each other's faces right now. That's the best one. 1-11th. I've never heard it before. It makes so much sense in the world. Basically, just do your damn job, right?
Yeah.
I mean, 1-11th. I love that right there. That's exactly how we're going to wrap this thing up here. Richie, what are some goals you guys have talked about? What does Mental put in your head that he says that this team is capable of?
Big Sky Championship and make it run to the playoffs. I really do believe that. I do believe this team is good enough to do that.
Big Sky Championship, and let's make that damn run in the playoffs. I love it. Richie just putting a cherry on top. Folks, having a chat with Richie Munoz, signal caller for Weber State. Went bananas against Montana last week. And of course, you've all seen it at this point. I mean, Kirk Herbstreit even saw it and shouted it out. I want to go through those stats just one more time before we get out of here. 365 passing yards, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions. Nobody's done it since 1993. Richie Munoz is a legend or a very infamous person in the state of Montana right now. Hey, keep this momentum going. You guys are on a confidence high. You guys are a team that I don't think many want to see and a team that tends to get better as the season goes on. So keep that up. And Richie, like I stated at the very beginning of the show, thank you so much for giving FCS Nation Radio some time.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for hanging with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. It's now time for Stone Labanowitz and I to take a quick trip all over FCS Nation and preview the biggest games taking place in FCS football this week. Up first, Youngstown State is at number one, South Dakota State. Stone, Youngstown State came into the season, a lot of expectations. These expectations have not been met so far. And if you come into a ball game feeling kind of desperate for a victory, feel like the season is snowballing on you, going to Brookings and trying to write that isn't exactly a recipe for success, is it?
This game confuses me, Kev, because I don't know what else to say when we're previewing a Jackrabbits game. At this point, all the scores are going to look the same. All of their player stat lines are going to be copy-paste from the week prior. They're going to beat up on Youngstown State. Youngstown State is soul-searching each and every week, and this is not a place you want to go, like you mentioned, and not a team that you want to play in week 7 when you've had the season that you've had so far. So this is another lopsided victory for the Jacks.
Number 6, Idaho is at number 2, Montana State. Who's going to play quarterback for the Vandals is the big story and the biggest question mark coming into this one. Going in and playing that Montana State team with the way they can run the football, the defense they have, throw in Tommy Malott completing some passes down the field, and you go in there basically with one boot off, missing your two best quarterbacks. This will be a heck of a coaching job by Jason Eck if the Vandals can get out of Bozeman with a W. Don't count them out. Coach Eck will have something dialed up that will make this a football game for a long, long time. I think going to be a battle over in Bozeman.
I think so, too. This is a game that Jason Eck has coached his entire career for. It's a game plan that he's so excited to put together, and I'm excited to see what he's put together. I think you're going to see Idaho play some of the best football they've played all season, knowing the stakes and how important this game is for them, not only their reputation, but when you're talking seeding and you're talking playoffs and quarterbacks getting healthy. If you can steal a win like this, I mean, my goodness, stand up. Round of applause for Jason Eck. But Montana State, I think, is better where it matters most, and that's up front. And I think eventually, I think they'll wear this Idaho defensive line, who we've given so much love every week, down, and Montana State will win this game by probably 10 plus.
Number 3, North Dakota State is at Southern Illinois. My friend, going to be a long afternoon in Carbondale for your Salukis, I'm afraid. And I think it's going to be a very, very long rest of the season for your Salukis the rest of the way, I'm afraid. I just want to welcome you into a small little sliver, just a little taste of my college football fandom the last couple of years, bro. Welcome. There's always room in Crapsville Bar and Grill for Stone LeBanna with to pull up a chair right next to me.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And just drown my sorrows away. I don't even know if I can bring myself to watch this game. This is another game that ends the way of the Bison 41-17, 55-10. This is what's going to happen, and I'm not prepared for it. So I'm going to try to stay away from it. But I can pretty much predict what Cam's stat line is going to be and how this game is going to finish. And it just hurts my stomach a little bit.
Northern Iowa is at number four, South Dakota. This season has been an enigma for the Panthers. We thought they were going to really turned things around offensively. They called it the Prairie Raid. Well, last week they put up 3 points. In no way, shape, or form is that a raid of any kind, sir. I don't know how much better they're going to do against the Yoke in Vermilion. Probably not a lot. I think Aiden Bauman does what he does. Be steady, lead the team, hand the ball off, get some chunk plays down the field, and South Dakota won't have too many problems against Northern Iowa at home.
No, they won't. Steady Eddie goes Mr. Bauman. This is a game where, similar to Youngstown State, the Panthers just haven't found their way, and they're kind of soul-searching. And this is not a team you want to play when you're soul-searching. They're clicking on all cylinders right now. Aiden's going to do just enough, but this backfield and the boys in the trenches are going to handle up, and they're going to score on special teams again. I think this team has got it all figured out, finally, for the first time in a long time. The Yotes are ready to rock and roll, and they will do so against a bad UNI team.
Cal Poly is at number five, UC Davis. UC Davis won a football game in Portland last week that had no business winning. Hope they learned their lesson from that, that you're UC Davis, you're not the Green Bay Packers. You just can't show up and intimidate people and expect them to lay down for you and win. That's not how it works in the Big Sky Conference. It's not how it works in FCS football. This is a little rivalry game here. Cal Poly will try to do some things, which they probably won't be able to do very well. Let's face it, Cal Poly hasn't done very many things well on the football field recently. But I expect UC Davis to do what they do, run the football, and they should beat Cal Poly pretty soundly.
Yeah, they did get scared and they did learn their lesson. I think it's really important for top 10 teams to come away with a game that they're down at half with a win. A game where they really have no business winning, similar to North Dakota State and ETSU. That win teaches you a lot. And I think it does translate over to a game against Cal Poly. Playing for the Golden Horseshoe, they understand the stakes and they understand that they should have a loss in the column that they didn't necessarily want nor need. And they're going to right the ship, so Cal Poly's the one in the crosshairs this week.
Princeton is at number seven, Mercer. My feelings about the Ivy League in general, and Princeton in particular, are well known to listeners of this show. We're going to see what the Ivy League is made out of this week as Princeton travels from New Jersey to Middle Georgia to take on the Mercer Bears and that hellacious defense. You like their defense, I know, Stone, but you also like Mercer's quarterback. Tell us a little bit more about him.
I love DJ, and I love how he's able to extend plays, and typically you see these Mercer score lines below the number every Saturday. And if you're not watching the game, it's hard to tell. Is the offense not good or is the defense this good, right? You ask yourself that question. But when you watch DJ play, what he's able to do on the third and threes and the thirds and sevens, how he's able to kind of tuck the ball and go and find a first down and extend these drives, they're sufficient on offense. And when they need to score, they can, but they lean on this defense. It's what they're known for. And they're back in the Pines this weekend. I think this is a game that they take advantage of a Princeton team, and nobody's watching Princeton games. So let this be your first one of the season and watch a SoCon team just mollywop them.
If you're fleeing Hurricane Milton in Florida and going to Georgia to try to get away from the storm, you can log on to Mercer's website and they'll give you a free ticket to the football game. So if you've been displaced by the hurricane and you're in Middle Georgia, go on down there to Five Star Stadium, see some good FCS football, and watch the Mercer Bears. Good on Mercer for putting that together for these people who've had to flee their homes due to this horrible hurricane. Utah Tech is at number 10, Tarleton State. Stone, Utah Tech is not good. We see them every week basically just get destroyed. I expect that trend to kind of continue. I think not a whole lot to see here. Tarleton State really kind of got lucky last week at Southern Utah, and they had their UC Davis game moment. Although Southern Utah is not a horrible football team, they got a lot of good players. You know, it's just Tarleton's kind of in control of that game, let them back into it, and it almost bit them. I bet Tarleton learned their lesson last week.
Yeah, I think Southern Utah is better than Utah Tech. and also better than a Portland State team that UC Davis just kind of skated by last week. So I didn't buy too much stock there. But for Tarleton State, another offense that I love. I love, love, love watching these Texans play football on the offensive side. I think this team is a sneaky team, and I think I'm compiling a list of schools that you don't want to play in round one and two, and Tarleton's now on that list, Kev. They're going to beat up on Utah Tech pretty bad.
And I bet the next team is one of those teams on your list, too, you don't want to see come playoff time. And that's number 11. SEMO, who will host Tennessee Tech this week. The SEMO Red Hawk Stone, it kind of all begins and ends with the right arm of Paxton DeLaurent, doesn't it? He does everything well. He's a good leader. He's got the size. He's got the cannon right arm. He's a complete player trying to bring some younger guys along with him this one last ride, and this last ride so far is going pretty good for SEMO. I don't think Tennessee Tech brings a whole lot to the table in this ball game in particular, but if you're SEMO, you got to keep stacking up these wins. You've got to get yourself to where when the chaos happens in front of you in some of these conferences, where all the teams play each other, we know that that isn't always the case, and that's a point for another show, but you're going to have an opportunity to move up to where you're going to get a seed. And if you're SEMO and you can host some of these teams in the playoffs at your place, that's a team I think that has an outside shot at maybe getting to Frisco, Texas, Stone. Paxton DeLaurent is that good of a quarterback.
I love it. I love it. I'll co-sign every single word that you just preached right there. I think the SEMO team is a bona fide top 10. You'll see us play some there after this week. And I think for Paxton DeLaurent, you said it. I want to say it one more time before we roll on, but they're going to go as far as Paxton wants to take them. And there are years where that's the case for a team.
Montana last year.
And Cliff, yes. And I often recall Incarnate Word with Lindsey Scott. There are those teams who come into the mix, and the quarterback that just has a quarterback who's up for the challenge. And Paxton's one of those guys. So please look out for this SEMO team.
Number 12, Abilene Christian is at North Alabama. We're going to find out this week if Abilene Christian can stand prosperity. Big win last week. Signal victory for your program. Ranked top five ranked team. You beat him at your place. Man, if you don't follow that up with a victory on the road at North Alabama this week, last week, it don't mean a thing, Stone. So let's see if they can put it together back-to-back weeks without the extra motivation of a larger crowd than normal and a high-ranked team. But we've talked about it several times this year. This North Alabama team has some dudes. They have some players. And we've been waiting for them to put it all together. This could be the week. I don't think so. But we're kind of running out of time for that prediction to come true. Could be this week. Brent Dierman's got some players. They just haven't really had a whole lot go right for them so far this season.
This is a sneaky game for Abilene Christian, and they need to be careful because North Alabama hasn't played well. And if they do, they could lose this game. Who knows if they're still celebrating the win over a top 10 Central Arkansas team. Might I say top 5 at the time, Central Arkansas team. So if they're riding that high and they sleepwalk against the Brent Dierman team, who's just licking their chops and who's on the verge of playing really good football, they'll lose this game. So I have this one circled, and I think it's a sneaky game of the week.
West Georgia is at number 13, Central Arkansas. Stone, West Georgia is going to be a good program. They're a pretty darn good football team to be in year one of the transition to Division I. But this Central Arkansas team is a wounded animal right now. I believe Will McElvain is going to have a day. Shonderrick Powell will rush for 180 yards. Doesn't he rush for 180 yards just about every week, Stone?
It's not just about, it is every single week.
Right. So I expect that we'll see more of the same here. And last week was an aberration. I really hope so for your sake with all the smack you talked for Central Arkansas, bro. I mean, I really hope that they continue to put it together. Or when I see you next time, I'm just going to bring a big old piece of roadkill and not even grill it for you and make you eat it all.
Yeah, well, I just don't think this is the week that I'm going to have to eat the roadkill. And I don't think the rest of the season they're going to lose again. Their schedule's pretty soft. So they're going to have one blemish on it. That's a good Abilene Christian team. And if this Abilene Christian team wants to continue to win games, then this loss will look less bad for the Bears. And you hit on everything there's to hit on with West Georgia. They'll eventually be good. They have a great recruiting crop to choose from. But right now, Central Arkansas has a bad taste in their mouth, and they're going to want to spit it out.
Number 17, Northern Arizona, is at number 14, Montana. So, and I think we can agree that the Grizz defense has problems, yes?
That's an understatement, but yes.
Some of them are personnel problem, okay? They're missing some key guys. But this is week 7. Maybe you're not going to have those guys. Maybe this is who you are on defense. Maybe you get some of those guys back one at a time, a trickle effect. Maybe you just have to know that each week you've got to go out there and score 50 points and hope you can hold the other team to 49. That's who Montana is right now. And Logan Fife, I think when we talked off air, you said sometimes he looks like he's the man. man. He was our National Player of the Week, right? Had a great day. But there's been several Players of the Week, national, by us in Northwestern Mutual, who have one team in common that they played the week where they won the National Player of the Week. What team was that, Sam?
That was the Montana Grizzlies.
Right, and that defense. So I think Montana football is going to be very exciting to watch the rest of the year. It's going to be reminiscent of those big fluffy sky days where, you know, 59-58 was a legitimate final score that we saw two or three times a Saturday, it seemed like. And it'll be exciting. I don't think that's what Coach Houck envisioned when we sat across from one another at Big Sky Media Day back in July.
No, it's definitely not. And I wouldn't even consider this team a good football team right now. They're hit or miss. Logan Fife's hit or miss. I mean, they weren't confident with Logan heading into the season. And I'm sure some of them on that staff are still scratching their head trying to figure that out. And defensively, I mean, they're just getting 30, 40 points dropped on them in multiple games of the season. That's very unlike them. I don't know what Montana team we're going to get on a week-in, week-out basis. I'm hoping it's a good one against an NAU team who you talked about does things really well when it comes to the details, but Montana's got stuff to figure out. So many question marks, so many voids that were left from last year that still are not filled, and we need to see them filled pretty soon because you know it's approaching.
Missouri State is at number 15, Illinois State. Stone, this is seems like a pretty easy game to look at here, right? Missouri State's coming in with more scholarships than is allowable for FCS, but somehow we're supposed to look at this kind of like a conference game. Well, it's not. Illinois State is the number 15th ranked team in the country, but they don't do anything particularly well. There's nothing that stands out about them. They're not particularly sexy. They just, you know, they're the 15th ranked team in the country. They're maybe the fourth or fifth best Missouri Valley Football Conference team, which makes you that. I think this is a team that can maybe get on a roll here, Stone, and maybe 3 weeks from now, we're talking about how, you know, there's a little bit more to this Redbird team than we thought, but you got to handle Missouri State at home if that's going to be the case.
You do. You really do. We talk about Mr. Spack's game plans, Kev, every single week. It's not just a phrase we throw out there. It's not just something we say because we want to say it. It's true. He's really good at this team's really efficient, and when they need big plays, they find him. And he sets this offense up really well, especially in the red zone, hitting at a higher clip than a lot of teams in the country, and even top 10 teams in the country whose offenses we preach about each and every week. If they can beat a Missouri State team, this team, yeah, is just on the cusp of being top 10. And again, that's not a fluke either. We've seen some fluke top 10 spots like in North Dakota. I don't necessarily think this is one of them.
Eastern Washington is at number 18, Sacramento State. Well, we all know what Eastern Washington can do. They can score. They have Efton Chisholm. They have a quarterback that completes almost 80% of his passes. But this is a team that also lost to Drake. What a season it's been so far in FCS football, folks. And Sacramento State, not an offensive juggernaut by any stretch of the imagination so far. If this is a high-scoring game, I think that favors the Eagles. But Sac State's defense, maybe we'll be able to put the clamps on them. But I think this will be a close ball game here. And Eastern Washington has more than a puncher's chance in this one, Stone. And we're back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Networks. Now time for my favorite time of the week, y'all. This is the pick segment where Stone Labanowitz and I go head-to-head, and we pick the biggest games taking place in FCS football this week. Up first, I mean, Stone, we always start with the number one team in the country, right? We're going to do these things in reverse 1 week just to mess with you. Youngstown State is at number one, South Dakota State.
Give me the Jacks, 41-17 over the Penguins.
Yeah, not a lot to see here. Jackrabbits will win this one, 42-10. Number six, Idaho, is at number two, Montana State. This one's tough for me, Stone.
Oh, my God. It's the toughest. I've spent so much time deciding on which way I want to go and kind of what I think the margin of victory will be. I do want to go Montana State. I'm going to go 28-20 the way of the Bobcats.
I think that's probably about right. Kind of low scoring, kind of the type of ball game where Montana State controls the clock, maybe wears down that Idaho defensive line, which is outstanding. And the question mark at quarterback is the big deal for me for Idaho. I think Montana State wins at home in Bozeman over Idaho, 27-17. Number three, North Dakota State is at Southern Illinois. Folks, Stone Labanowitz is speechless about this one, so I'll take this one, Stone. North Dakota State goes into Carbondale and whips the Salukis.
Oh, I've never done that with the Citadel Bulldogs.
I think North Dakota State goes into Carbondale and wins a very gentlemanly victory over Southern Illinois, 31-10. Northern Iowa is at number four, South Dakota.
South Dakota wins this game. I do want to give them the 50 burger again, but I won't. Let's go 42-10 over the Panthers.
I think Northern Iowa will do better than that, Stone. I don't think they're going to get blown out in the conference back-to-back weeks. South Dakota will win, but it'll be a little closer. Take South Dakota at home over Northern Iowa, 30-14. Cal Poly is at number 5, UC Davis.
We talked about the Aggies having their scare last week. I fully believe that. I think UC Davis wins this game 35-20.
Yeah, not a whole lot to see here. It's a rivalry game, but I don't believe this is one of the ones where you say throw out the records, that they don't matter. I think they matter a lot in this game. So take number 5, UC Davis at home over Cal Poly, 42-17. Princeton is at number 7, Mercer.
Mercer's going to beat the crap out of Princeton here. I still don't think Mercer finds 30, so give me the Bears 28-7.
I think they do find 30, Stone, on the nose. Take number 7, Mercer, at home over Princeton, 30-12. Utah Tech is at number 10, Tarleton State.
A lot to a little here. Utah Tech has nothing for Tarleton State, and Tarleton State has a long list of things for UT. I think this game's lopsided. I think it's probably 25-30 point margin of victory, actually. Here, give me Tarleton State 52, Utah Tech 10.
I like the Texans in this one. Take number 10, Tarleton State at home over Utah Tech, 42-20. Tennessee Tech is at number 11, SEMO.
SEMO's damn good. I mean, we talk about it each and every week, and I think you're going to see it put on display here against the Tennessee Tech team, whose defense isn't all that stout in the secondary. So look for Paxton to have a field day here. Give me the Redbirds 30-7.
I agree with you here, Stone. SEMO, good football team, have all the markings and characteristics of a top 10 football team to me. I believe this victory puts them over the top for that. Take number 11, SEMO, at home over Tennessee Tech, 38-10. Number 12, Abilene Christian is at North Alabama.
I circled this one in the preview segment as a sneaky game of the week. I still feel that way. I love this one, but I'm scared for Abilene Christian. I think they win this game 27-24.
I think it'll be close, too, for a long time, Stone. But I do believe that Abilene Christian will score a couple here towards the end of the football game to make this one look worse than it is. Take number 12, Abilene Christian, on the road over North Alabama in Florence, Alabama, 38-20. West Georgia is at number 13, Central Arkansas.
I like Central Arkansas to get that bad taste out of their mouth. A loss last week that they didn't expect, kind of humbling. And I think they kind of come back down to earth, play really good defense, and of course do what they do on the offensive end. Give me Central Arkansas 48-13.
I agree with what you said, Stone. This is a really good get-right spot for Central Arkansas. Take number 13, Central Arkansas Bears, on the stripes in Conway, Arkansas, over West Georgia, 42-7. Number 17, Northern Arizona is at number 14, Montana.
The Grizz get out of here with the win, 30-17 over NAU.
You mentioned it earlier, Stone. The Grizz play an awful lot of home games. And last year, Northern Arizona beat them in the walk-up Sky Dome. I don't think anything changes. This is my upset special of the week. Take number 17, Northern Arizona, at number 14, Montana. Northern Arizona gets out of Missoula with the victory.
Wow.
28-27 over Montana. Missouri State is at number 15, Illinois State.
I want to go Illinois State here. I'm just struggling to kind of pull the trigger. Give me the Redbirds, 30-27 over the Bears.
I like the Redbirds here too, Stone. Brock Spack will have his boys ready to go. And you know what I like to say? Nobody circles the wagons like the fellow with the cowboy mustache. Take Brock Spack and the Illinois State Redbirds at home over Missouri State, 30-27. Eastern Washington is at number 18, Sacramento State.
I love this game. Right behind Abilene Christian in North Alabama, I think this is game of the week 1B. Think high-scoring affair. But I do think the Hornets are better on the defensive side and can kind of extinguish the Eagles and Efton Chisholm for just a quarter, and that's going to be all they need. Give me the Hornets, 30-Eastern Washington's 28.
I think this is going to be a good old-fashioned Big Sky Conference football game here, Stone. And by a good old-fashioned Big Sky Conference football game, I mean a track meet. That kind of football game favors Eastern Washington, but Sacramento State's defense will be the one that makes one more play than the Eagles do. Take Sacramento State at home over Eastern Washington, 40-37.
Thanks for sticking with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Guys, you know what time it is. Following the preview segment, it's our Alex's Lemonade Stand Honorary Captains of the Week. We followed suit. Every single week, we don't bring on one captain, but we bring on two. This one's kind of special. We're doing a Where Are They Now with a few members that were on our list last year. And for those fresh ears and new audience members out there, let me give you a little bit of context. Northwestern Mutual, they created a nationwide challenge. This was last season. 13 players from 11 schools competed to raise the most money and the most awareness for Alex Lemonade Stand Foundation. That foundation is a leading childhood cancer research organization. Not only does it provide support for families who need to travel, who need treatment, but it's big time. Two guys on that list last year who raised a heck of a lot of money, didn't win the Lemon Trophy, but raised a heck of a lot of money and won a national championship along the way. Brian Williams, Quentin Hicks. Brian, I'll start with you. Thanks so much for giving the show some time this week.
Yes, Stone, thanks for having us on. You know, the impact you guys have in FCS Nation is awesome. It's bringing awareness to, you know, our division and what we have to offer as well. So thank you.
Awesome. And Quentin, thanks so much for hopping on the show this week.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, Stone.
I talked about this following the preview segment, and I say this every week, but it is my favorite segment because you get a chance to learn who these athletes are underneath the helmet. And I don't think that's as prevalent as it should be in the FCS. I don't think these athletes are covered as much as they should be. I know from firsthand experience, there are guys like Brian and guys like Quentin out there who not only mean a lot on the field and for the Jackrabbits' sake, down in the trenches with their hand in the dirt, but off the field, these guys have a lot to offer. I talked about last year's challenge being 13 athletes in 11 universities. Well, this year's challenge, 12 schools, 12 athletes within the FCS. And our goal, guys, is to raise $250,000. This is our second year doing it, and we're already talking about $250,000, already $5,000 of the way there. We raised $50,000 last year in our very first year, and we're putting it on FCS fans to help us raise this and put forth money. And for your guys' sake, or for your former team's sake, it's Mark Gronowski. He's the one participating in this. What are some things that you see in Mark that makes sense as to why he's on this list? And off the field, kind of how does Mark carry himself in like a philosophical front?
I mean, first of all, Mark is one of my best friends. He'll be an usher at my wedding, hopefully, unless, you know, train in the NFL and whatnot. Mark's a great guy. Everyone talks about how he plays in the field, but if you hang out with Mark off the field, like, stand-up guy. He's an engineer degree. He's got an engineer degree. I believe he already has it. He's getting his master's right now. Super great guy. Nice to everyone. There's always kids around him, and he makes time to, you know, talk to kids, make them feel special, ask what their name is, take pictures, sign autographs, whatever, no matter where he's at, where he's eating dinner or anything. So Mark is a stand-up guy. I think it'd be awesome to see him win the competition this year.
And Brian, are there anything that stand out to you? Any stories that have come up? Quentin talked about kind of Mark being around kids a lot of the time, whether it's you guys out in the community, whether it's doing autograph signings or kind of one of your media days. Is there something that stands out to you? What about Mark?
I think one thing I didn't know about Mark, it was kind of when we went to Southeastern Louisiana and we got to hang out with his parents a little bit. I think that just shows you everything that you need to know about the kid. I mean, he's just an awesome person, and it comes from his parents. So shout out to his parents.
Oh, I love that call out. Brian, we actually had a chance to link up in Hammond, Louisiana for Jet Booker, an athlete on our list this year. His tailgating event, hashtag line up for Lemonade. It was phenomenal. And yes, you talked about Ray Gronowski and Deb Gronowski, Mark's parents. They do tell you every single thing you need to know about Mark. Them showing up to another athlete, let alone an athlete that his son was competing against, to show support for what we're doing here with Northwestern Mutual, Alex Lemonade Stand Foundation, and us here at FCS Nation. There's just not much more to touch on. Where Mark comes from, how he was raised, is the exact reason why he's on this list, and the exact reason that he's one of the two to three favorites to actually take home the Lemon Trophy. I love it. Having a chat here with Brian Williams and Quentin Hicks. Guys, let's get to the real reason that you're here. Of course, last year you were honorary captains of the week. I had a sit down with you both. We're just phenomenal, and the passion just seeped through our interview, and you guys raised a heck of a ton of money like I talked about, but something special has taken place. Every time I bring an athlete on, and it's been three so far this season, I talk about this initiative, this partnership also being transcending for them as an athlete and also as a student. And we have that conversation often about life after football. And I don't think any other programs have that conversation. I don't think it's spoken about enough in college athletics. I actually know for a fact it's not, based off of guys graduating and not having a damn clue what to do with their lives. But that's not the case when you tie yourself to a Northwestern Mutual and just rub elbows for your guys' sake with somebody like Chris Schenkel, right, who sets you guys up and kind of allows you to see what's on the other side and what is possible for me in my career. You guys actually were both interns at Northwestern Mutual Sioux Falls office. I kind of just want to pick your brain on what that was like, because there are athletes out there listening right now, and definitely athletes on our list right now that are listening to you too and looking for advice. Talk about what that internship program meant to you and how it got you to the place that you're at right now. Quentin, I'll start with you.
Yeah, it was great. You know, in the summer, we have a crazy schedule. Brian and I worked out in the morning at 6 a.m. and then I think Tuesdays and Thursdays, we have practice at 6 p.m. So a crazy schedule in the summer. And obviously all the guys worked, whether it be a lot of guys, you know, tore up carpet or painted houses, whatever they had to do. Don't have the luxury of the FBS guys, you know, getting stipends during the summer. So we had to work. And luckily with Northwestern Mutual, I was essentially my own boss at 22 years old. And it was awesome. I loved it a lot. You know, I worked pretty much 11, 12 hour days every day, Monday through Thursday. And then on Friday, I was like, all right, I'm going to go, you know, golf at one, because I was running my own business. And I thought the decision was, you know, I'm going to work hard, but I'm still at 22. I want to have fun. So it was great. It was great coming off the national championship, because a lot of the people that I reached out to were like, oh, yeah, like, I mean, I wasn't a big name or anything, never was, but a lot of people knew I was, so that was very helpful too. The support that the advisors in the Sioux Falls office has, still work with them today a lot of times. So it was great for me, and now luckily I got to do a full-time role in Wichita now, so it was a great opportunity for me.
I love
don't
it,
let
Brian.
Quentin, don't let Quentin lie to you. Everybody knows who he is. Freshman All-American, loudest guy on the field. I mean, look at him.
You see how he just tried to slip that in there?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah, I wasn't a big deal, and then now he's cheesing.
Just a couple of rings on my finger, nothing too crazy. Brian, many college athletes have successfully made the move to become advisors and are having an impact in your career personally and obviously the community around them. You actually left Brookings and went to your hometown of Tallahassee and are now working full-time for Northwestern Mutual, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I am in Tallahassee now, and one thing I would say that the internship allows you to do is not only work with advisors in Sioux Falls, but across the country. Like I had the, you know, chance to meet Patrick Scott here in Tallahassee, Forbes list advisor here in Florida. Same with like guys like Ben Gant and Bryson Bard, who just make a huge impact in Florida, and not only just Florida, but across the country. You just get to see the level of intentionality that people like that bring, and you know, just makes you want to keep doing it. So super thankful for Chris allowing me to be a part of the internship and, you know, just guiding me in my career and my path.
I love it. And I want you guys to both kind of give a piece of advice to kids, whether they're sophomores or juniors right now in college, who are kind of turning their heads to life after football, because we know that small percentage of kids who are actually able to go play on Sundays. Brian, I'll start with you. For somebody looking for an internship around the country who is at a location where Northwestern Mutual is within arm's reach, kind of what would your piece of advice be to them? Kind of pitch them.
Yeah, my piece of advice would be, you know, you could go do the labor stuff. You could go cut grass. You could go, you know, we had guys putting in floors, but very rarely do you see someone get a chance to run their own practice and be compensated for what they put in. I felt like a big part for me and why I chose Northwestern Mutual was because I wanted to earn what I made. And so what I make really just depends on how many times I can pick up the phone, how much value impact I can add, and be compensated for it as well.
And Quentin, for you, what would your piece of advice be for a college-age kid, athlete or not, looking for an internship that suits them and why Northwestern Mutual might be a good fit?
I would just say, you know, take that call. If you're a junior or a senior, you are a top candidate to be called by Northwestern Mutual. Anyone that's a great internship, just take that call. Because when our recruiter Reagan called me, I have never heard of Northwestern Mutual. I didn't know what they did, honestly. And she called me. I was like, yeah, I'll give it a chance. I'll go through the process. And I just, you know, kept doing it. But take that call. It's huge. And having an internship made my life a lot easier getting a job after college, because I had no idea what I was going to do. I thought I was going to get marketing. Looking back, I probably would have not liked that. My fiance does it, and I heard, but she doesn't. Not my cup of tea. So just take that internship call when they reach out to you, and just hear them out.
I love it. And you guys are forcing me to ask this question, although I'm super excited to ask it. Kind of debunk this narrative. I fell victim to it. Quentin, you kind of just admitted to it. Brian, I can get the gist as well that, you know, we shoo these things off. You know, when we're in college, this is in our minds last priority, right? Like the first thing that's on our mind is football, then comes class. And I'm just speaking bluntly here, right? That's how we think as kids who are in our early 20s, but kind of talk about why that's not true and that moment that you realize that, God, I took that call. Quentin, I'll start with you.
Yeah. Mine was when I had my labrum surgery on my shoulder. I was like, okay, I'm probably not going to go to the league. You know, I've seen some great guys go through STSU and they didn't go to the league. So I'm like, okay, I got to get real here. And that was my wake-up call. Not everyone's going to go to the NFL. A very small percentage goes to the NFL. So just realizing that you have to have a backup plan in case that doesn't, you know, go through. Just be prepared for that to happen to you.
Pretty good backup plan, considering you run your own business, right? You run your own practice. It's a damn good backup plan. Brian, what about you? I'm sure as a college-age kid, you had those thoughts, right? You just didn't give a damn what you were going to do after college. It wasn't on your mind. But what was that moment for you where you were like, I asked Quentin, thank God I answered that call?
Yeah, so for me, actually, it was kind of crazy because I called Quentin, was like, are you doing an internship this year? And he was like, yeah, man, I'm actually doing with Northwest Mutual. I was like, dude, just put me on. I got to figure out something to do with my life. Because I was getting my master's degree and I was like, what am I going to do with this? You know, like just super raw in that space. And so Quentin set me up with Reagan and we went through the whole process. And I think in 3 weeks I was in, you know, the internship and going through everything with Quentin. And it was really just a blessing, not only, you know, to be able to do the internship, but to be able to do it with, you know, one of your teammates or, you know, and then you get to not only that, but gain the experience.
So they're talking about their summers and kind of at this point, how that one summer has changed their lives. I think that's kind of almost answering the question I'm about to ask, but I want you guys to kind of dive deeper into this on what last year's experience taught you. And when I'm talking about last year's experience, I'm talking about not only rubbing shoulders with people at the office you were interning with in Sioux Falls, but people of Alex's Lemonade Stand and that foundation when you came across them, myself, my co-host Kevin Marshall, the events that took place in Brookings that were put in place to raise money and awareness for childhood cancer. Did you ever have that feeling that, damn, I'm doing something that's bigger than me? Brian, I'll start with you.
Yeah. So for me, I would say just seeing how much money we raised, you know, individually, and like we were competing there back and forth. Unfortunately, we didn't get it done. But in South Dakota State's defense, we had 3 guys to 1, you know, so the money was getting split right different ways. So we were really cheated out of the process. We won't get into that, but it really should have been 3 championships, 1, if you think about it. But just being able to rub elbows with people like Alex Lemonade Stand, Chris, you know, you guys as well, being able to hang out with you guys a few weeks ago, it's really just awesome. Not only like the money and impact that you're making, but the people you get to do alongside with.
Yeah, that number that Brian talked about was a little under $50,000. And that was our very first year doing this. Our goal this year is quadrupled 5 times that $50,000 mark. And yeah, Brian, I do think you have a point, to be honest with you. You combine the three of you guys, and we have another discussion here. And there's a coyote who's not holding the Lemon Trophy at his house right now. Quentin, for you, kind of what has last year's experience taught you, similar to what Brian talked about? Was there anything that stood out that made you realize that, damn, I'm doing something a lot bigger than myself and a lot bigger than the sport I play?
Yeah, I think where the money was going was huge for me, because a lot of times people, you know, donate to cancer research, which is awesome. It's great to have, but no one looks behind the scenes like, hey, those families have to travel. Like I had a friend in Wichita. They had to go to Kansas City every week to do chemo at the hospital there. That costs a lot of money, because they stay at a hotel. They have to, you know, eat food while they're there. It's not just going to cancer research, going to those families that have to pay all these expenses on top of the medical bills that are, you know, insane. So where the money was going was my biggest thing. The biggest impact on me was going right to the families to help them.
I love it. I love it. You guys are just simply preaching right now. A lot of good things said, but I want you to call out Jax fans, because as I look at the updates right now, we're at the $5,000 mark, and Mark Gronowski is not in first, second, third, or fourth right now. He's actually well behind, a couple $100 raised right now. Brian, this weekend's a big game and a big day for the community of Brookings. It's Hobo Day, right? First, talk about what Hobo Day is, what it means to you as a Jackrabbit, now a former Jackrabbit, and if you'll be in attendance. I've heard from a little birdie that your face will be there. You will physically be in attendance at Hobo Day against Youngstown State. And if there are people who see you, kind of what they can do and how they can get Mark's numbers raised.
Yeah, for, you know, Hobo Day, the significance is just all the former players getting together. You know, Ryan McKnight and his crew do a great job at JFPA and just getting all the guys back in town. And yeah, I mean, I'll be at the tailgate. Would love to take pictures with whoever so we can get Mark's numbers up. If you take a picture with a lemon on top of your head and post it to your social media, that's $10 raised. That's $10 going to Mark's account. Hashtag go Jax. We've got to get his numbers up, because if you're not first, you're last.
I love it. And Quentin, for you, I don't know if you're going to be in attendance at Hobo Day, but kind of call out Jack's fans and how they can raise more money for Mark and kind of catapult him up this list. The leader right now, Chris Presto, Southern Illinois Dog, for $1,500 raised. Kind of call out Jack's fans. They're slacking.
I need everyone to go to FCSNationRadio.com. Alex and Mason has their own little section on there. Click on that. Go to Mark's name. I'm also going to call it JFPA specifically. You know, I need everyone to go there and donate a little bit. Our fan base is bigger than it's ever been coming off 2 national championships. I see the games. I see it's packed. I see on social media that this fan base is growing, and it's massive. So if everyone goes there, donates $10, and you know, for every $10 donation, there'll be someone who donates $100, $1,000. So everyone go out there, support Mark, support the cause, Box and Aid Stand, and let's make a difference.
You guys preach the gospel right here. A lot of good things to say. And for the audience out there who have heard these athletes come on each and every week for this 2024 season, this is what happens. This is the maturity level of these athletes that are on this list. And there's a damn good reason why we picked them. It's not just something that we randomly did. Guys like Quentin and guys like Brian and guys like Mark were sought after, handpicked, knowing they'd fit the mold and they could make a difference in their community. Brian down in Tallahassee working full time for Northwestern Mutual. It started with an internship. Quentin over there in Wichita started with an internship, works full time, and both of these guys run their own practices. I got to get you guys out of here. You guys are busy. Brian, I'll start with you. Thanks so much for joining the show this week. And let me get a score prediction for the Jacks Penguins.
Jacks Penguins, 35-3, Jacks, baby.
And Quinn, for you, I can't thank you enough. Let me get a score prediction.
Yeah, Brian, they didn't score last year, right?
Yeah, I was just being, we blocked a field goal, so I was like, they might get three. Yeah,
I'm going to go with 38-6, two field goals. And Mark Gronowski, 3 passing touchdowns. Amari Johnson, a rushing touchdown. And we'll throw Angel Johnson in there, too.
Love it. Love it. Getting specific here. All right, you heard the score predictions. That, again, was Quentin Hicks and Brian Williams. Couple of national champions. It's not often that you can have guys with rings on their fingers on a show like this. Thanks so much, guys.
You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
That brings us to the end of another episode of FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. FCS Nation is co-hosted by Mr. Stone Labanowitz, produced by Mr. Sam Cittadini. I'm executive producer and host Kevin Marshall, thanking you for making FCS Nation a small part of your football week. And like I always do, y'all, I'd like to remind you that life's a lot like football. You play by the rules and the penalties won't kill you. Until next week, so long, everybody.